Praise Jesus. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. There is no one like you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that the expectation of the righteous shall never be cut off. Right now, I want you to apply your expectation to God's word this morning. Praise God. How many of you, in this year of conquest, you really desire to conquer? You really desire. Now, a slightly different question. How many of this year of conquest you need to conquer? You just can't not because of what you're facing. Put your hands up. You see, do you know, like, just because the pastor is my husband doesn't mean that everything he says just immediately kind of makes sense to me. I remember I used to say to him years back when we first met, I loved your message, but I haven't got a clue what you were preaching about. You know, it was me. How many of you remember the really early days when he would preach these such prophetic messages? Ruth's just saying she couldn't understand any of it. Bim, could you understand him? No. Right, he would preach such prophetic messages that I'd be sitting there going, wow. I mean, I got that in the spirit, but my mind ain't got a clue what's going on. So I was the one that would be saying to him afterwards, my love, you know, that was great. But, you know, can you just remember there are some of us that aren't operating at this level up there? Can you just come down to earth every now and then? And so anyway, when he declares the words over the year, sometimes I need to process it. Sometimes it takes me a little while to get what he's on about. When he starts saying in 2015, it's the apostolic year, I'm like, what is it you mean? You have to say it in English to me. He says, I speak two languages. Someone was once asking about different, because he speaks lots. And he said, no, my wife only speaks two languages, English and rubbish. But you see, I'm the one who would say, can you just explain a bit? What do you mean apostolic? Have I got to start roaring or something? Have I got to suddenly, you know, be kicking doors down and just, you know? So it took me a while. But this year, ooh, I mean, the moment I heard what he shared, the year of conquest, that we have to fight, conquer, and dwell, I mean, I got it. Not only did I get it, but it resonated so deeply in my spirit. I just knew that I knew that I knew that we've got a mandate for this year. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But you see, the interesting thing about this is that it's fight, conquer, and dwell. Are you hearing me? It's fight. Say fight. Fight. That means there's going to be some battles. And what I want to share on today is a secret ingredient that is one of the game changers, that is one of the difference makers between, you see, we have a choice. Every time the word of God goes forth, we have a choice whether it becomes ours or not. Are you hearing me? Because you see, fighting isn't always pretty. You know, after the prayer meeting, Bim, I looked at Bim and I said, you've got to go sort yourself out now. She went, yes. I've got appearances to keep up here. Because she wasn't looking pretty. I mean, she was very beautiful. But you understand, you know, like makeup and hair, and she'd been praying. Fighting isn't always pretty. It isn't always easy. It doesn't feel nice. Have you ever felt like putting your feet up rather than fighting? Yeah. Or is it just me? And I want to talk about a secret ingredient that is the difference maker to whether or not we really will fight. Because without this, we will fall at the first hurdle. But it's something we can develop. It's something we can go get. It's something that we can build up in. But it's absolutely essential. You know, if you look at the Bible, I believe the book, and I'm sure you'd all agree with me, that most closely resonates with the entire notion of fighting, conquering, and dwelling is the book of Joshua. How many of you know what I'm saying? I mean, Joshua, that entire book, and it really starts in Deuteronomy, But it's all about fighting, conquering, and then dwelling. Isn't that right? So I want to read a couple of verses from Joshua chapter 1, and I'm going to start at verse 2. I'm going to start at verse 2. And it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. This is God speaking to Joshua. Now therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan. Now let me just stop there. You see, God's saying to Joshua, get over it. Is it all right to be real today? You know, there's a time for sadness and sorrow and mourning. But then there's a time when God says, okay, come on, man up. Get over it. The past is behind. And this is what God was saying to Joshua. Joshua had served Moses. He'd followed him everywhere. He was his assistant. He was his closest compatriot in many ways. He was the one that stood halfway up the mountain for 40 days. Moses didn't know he was going up for 6 weeks. And Joshua waited all that time. That's how faithful this man was. Moses has just died, but God is saying to him, we're in a new season, and it's time to move on. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them. Every place where the sole of your foot will tread, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I'll not leave you, nor forsake you. Verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you'll divide as an inheritance the land. Verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Observe to do all the law of Moses. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Meditate in it day and night, that you observe to do according to all that's written, for then you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Strength. Say strength.
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 God was saying to Joshua, if you want to conquer, if you want to fight, if you want to be the leader I've called you to be, it's time to be strong. Say, be strong.
Be strong.
You know, God said this again and again and again to Joshua. Not just once, not just twice. In fact, again and again, God kept saying to him, you've got to be strong. He wasn't saying, I'm going to zap you from on high and suddenly you're going to be endued with this new supernatural power. He said, be strong. And even when Moses, in fact, let's quickly turn there. Deuteronomy 31, verse 7. Deuteronomy 31, verse 7, just a few chapters back. Now, this is when Moses first announces that Joshua's the one, okay? And the first thing he says to him is, be strong. Then Moses called Joshua. He's already said to all the people, be strong. And now the following verse says, Moses called Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land that the Lord has sworn to you. Then, just further on in the same chapter, at the point when Moses was inaugurating Joshua, when he was commissioning him, actually releasing him into ministry, what's the first things he says? He says, then he inaugurated Joshua, verse 23, the son of Nun, and he said, be strong and of good courage, and you will bring the children of Israel into the land. You see, without strength, Joshua would have failed. Are you hearing me? Strength is the secret ingredient that makes the difference. Do you know, as I was studying this out, because God stirred this strongly on my heart, one of the things that dawned on me, kind of, you know, bubbled up on the inside, and I realized, was that it's hard to differentiate maturity from strength. You ask any leader who has leaders that work with them. You know, one of the things they'll look for in someone they want working with them is strength. Because if I'm weak, I'm not mature. But when I'm strong, then I have the capacity to demonstrate maturity. Are you hearing me? But how do we do strength? And that's what I want us to look at today, because it's very clear here that this isn't something that God is giving us as an optional extra. Are you hearing me? God, have I not commanded you? Say with me, it's a command. God commands me, say it, to be strong. You see, it's a command from heaven. And the reason it's a command is because God's heart towards us is that we'll succeed. And success comes, one of the absolute secret ingredients is strength. You can't succeed without strength. In any area of your life, you can't succeed in marriage without strength. You can't succeed in your family without strength. You can't succeed at work without strength. I saw one of Camelia's Facebook posts recently. I don't know if she's here or with the children, but she'd put on that post, you know, that she'd been working from 8 in the morning till 1 a.m. Now, if you're doing that when you're in the social services, that's stress. That's not like just a long day at the office, darling. You know, strength. You and I need strength in order to succeed. Now, I want to look at just some component parts of strength. Let me tell you, first of all, did you know 31 times in the Bible, it says, be strong. 31. That's one time for every day of the month. God is constantly saying to you and I, be strong, my son. Be strong, my daughter. Be strong. That's his heart's desire for us. You know, I often think about this scripture. Proverbs 24, verse 10. This is a hard one. You know, some scriptures are hard. You know, they're ones that you're like, I'd rather it wasn't there in the Bible. But it says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Ouch. Let me ask you, are you in a time of trial and testing and trouble right now? Well, you know, it's when times are tough that we discover whether we're strong yet. That's the only time we discover. We don't discover whether we're strong when all is well. We discover whether we're strong in the valley, in the fiery trial, in the difficult times. You know, you'll discover, because you'll carry on doing the right thing when times are tough, when you're strong. You'll carry on being consistent when it hurts, when you're strong. Are you hearing me? Listen, this isn't to condemn anyone, because we're going to get on with how to become strong. But you know, one of the keys is reality and truth. You know, one of the greatest turning points of my life, one of the greatest of all, was the day I stopped blaming my husband. I mean, he was just the nearest one to me. But you know, when we blame others, we are delaying our breakthrough. When you blame other people for the condition of your life, you are delaying success and victory. I remember the day when I said, you know, and this was to do with marriage, but it could have been to do with anything. When I said, I'm going to stop pointing at him. And I'm going to start saying, I need to change. I'm going to accept for the first time that I'm the problem. And I didn't even say that I'm part of the problem. Are you hearing me? Because even if I say I'm part, I'm still blaming him a little. Yes. Turn to your neighbor and say, listen. I said, I'm the problem. Am I married to a perfect man? No. He says, nearly. Well, I'll just let my smile let you make your mind up on that one. But you see, if I, all the time that I look to others as the reason why I am the way I am, I will stay the way I am. Are you hearing me? I want us to look in Scripture. Hallelujah. Give Jesus praise if you're going to do it. You see, it says in Joshua 1:8. Back to Joshua. Joshua 1:8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Say, my mouth. That you may observe. Say, I need to obey. According to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you, do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may make your way prosperous, that you may have good success. You see, I'm the one who determines my destiny, my outcome. God settles it in heaven. But I'm the one, nobody is ugly enough or big enough to come between me and the purposes of God. Are you hearing me? I'm the one who decides whether I'm going to get a breakthrough. I'm the one who is the difference maker. I'm not saying it's not God, you understand? But I'm saying that the first step to strength is taking responsibility. Hallelujah. Give Jesus praise. How many of you, you're ready to take responsibility? You see, for years, I used to have all sorts of excuses for the way I was. I had so many excuses. So if people, you know, pushed me or, you know, if I reacted badly in a situation, I would always have a million reasons why. And they were good. I mean, I had some great reasons why. But I remember the day when God convicted me about this. It was way before he started healing my heart and started doing a deep work inside and dealing with issues like rejection. It was before that. And I'm telling you that for a reason. Because we're on a journey, and the more healed we get, the more strong we can be. But we can be strong while we're in the journey. I remember the day I sat down opposite a friend who was at Bible college with me. And we were in a restaurant. And he turned to me and he said, so come on, Joe, tell me your story. And it was the kind of tell me your story that I normally would have just loved the opportunity. Not to tell him all my stuff, but to give him a string of reasons why I was the way I was. And I remember that day God speaking to me. And I sat there and I went, well, I said, what you see is what you get. I mean, I haven't got much of a story, really. You know, this is me. And as those words entered my mouth, I knew I'd stepped into a new era. I want to encourage you. Take responsibility. You know, right from the beginning, from the garden, blame set in as a habit in human nature. All the while we blame, we don't grow. All the while we point the finger to someone else's error, we don't grow up. But if you will just say, I'm no longer, I make a promise to you, God, I did that. There was a change one day, and I stopped blaming my husband for the issues in our marriage. And I started saying, I'm the problem. And guess what? Within a few years, it still took years. When the going gets tough, who gets going? It's not scripture, but it's good. The tough get going. You know, we had about 10 years of struggle in our marriage. But we fought, but we didn't let go, but we just hung in there and we believed God. But there was the point where I said, I'm the problem. You know, it wasn't a lack of faith. That wasn't some kind of speaking myself down thing. It was truth. And that was the beginning of the turnaround, which has led to everything that God has done. You see, you and I are the ones who get to make our way successful. We're the ones who, by our decisions, by our actions, affect the outcomes in our lives. So I just want to start by saying, you see, you would never expect that to be the first step to strength, would you? But it is, because strength and maturity are so close. It's also the first step to maturity. It's one thing I look for in my children. I love it when they're quick to accept responsibility. And it makes me just feel such a glad mother, because it's a step to maturity. It's a step to strength. Hallelujah. What's the second one? Well, some of these you're going to expect, but you see, it's the doing. Say the doing. Because we can know things, but if we're not doing them, then the knowing isn't helping us. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to do.
It's time to do.
Hallelujah. You see, every time that God commands Joshua to be strong, what does he also command him to be?
Courageous.
Say it loudly.
Courageous.
Courageous. Well, you see, it's not really a word that we use so much, is it? We think of courage with a child who's gone through difficult times and was brave, maybe. But you see, the way God said it to me, I thought, yeah, I get that, God, is being courageous is DIY encouragement. Shall I say it again? It's DIY encouragement. In other words, I don't need someone else to encourage me. When I'm down on a Wednesday morning because the bill just dropped on the doormat, because my wife has just said all sorts of things that hurt me, because all things, sorts of things are going on at work, a DIY encourager will say, you're going to come through this. A DIY encourager will encourage themselves in the Lord. Are you hearing me? We discover whether we're strong when times are tough. This message isn't for today, right now. This message is for tomorrow and the day after and the day after. And when you wake up and you just don't feel like going on. You know, it's so funny because the more you grow, the more that lack of strength looks odd in others.
Yes.
I'll never forget, we went through it was like our first big devastating test as pastors. Accusations were made against us by somebody we trusted and loved. And these accusations were made at the highest level. And this thing could have destroyed us. And I remember sitting in this meeting, about 10 people, and things being said that were just soul-destroying. It's the only way I can put it. And I was broken. I was crying the whole way through the meeting. My husband was looking strong, but, you know, wrecked on the inside. We were both wrecked by every word that was being said and what was happening. And I got home and I knew I was due to preach the following Sunday. This was a Thursday night. And interestingly enough, God had prompted me to prepare my message a day earlier. And guess what I was preaching on? The only other time I've preached on this subject, strength. But I'd already prepared my message, which I was really relieved about. But I woke up in the night. I was just so broken, and the Lord prompted me that I had to get up and go before him and receive healing in his presence, you know, that I wasn't going to be able to go on this way. A broken spirit, who can bear? I couldn't bear it. So I got in his presence. You see, strength isn't always about it all being together. Are you hearing me? Strength isn't about having all your ducks in a row at all times. It's about doing the right things. And I remember at 1 or 2 in the morning getting out of bed and getting on my knees before God and just crying out, and he healed my heart. And, you know, we had a good few months. I think it was about 4 months, was it? 3-4 months that we went through where it was tough. But I remember the following Sunday, you know, 3 days later going to church, and one of our leaders, and I said, oh, you know, how are you doing? Yeah, great. And I said, oh, they knew nothing yet. And I said, oh, how's your wife? You know, not here? He said, oh, no. She's on, it's a time of the month. And I remember standing looking at this man, please, you know, I'm not, and going, her time of the month. This is on the inside. Yeah. You know, on the outside, I'm going, I understand. On the inside, I'm going, her time of the month. Now, this wasn't a 13-year-old, you understand? This is a woman who's had rather a lot of times of the month. And I've nearly got destroyed 3 days earlier. Told my future is over. Told that my husband is a villain. Are you hearing me? And then it's her time of the month. You know, God wants you and I to get to that place where we carry on, where we're constant, where we pursue the right things no matter what is going on. Hallelujah. DIY encouragement. I want to listen, Let me tell you, there are so many times when people come to me with a word that just touches my heart. Last few days, two different people have done that. Auntie Rhoda texted me something. Oh my goodness, it encouraged me. Don't get me wrong, it isn't that we aren't a body and we it's that which every joint supplies. Terry this morning didn't realise just a word he spoke after the prayer meeting touched my heart. It's not that God wants us to be islands. Are you hearing me? But you see, I wasn't looking to them to make me encouraged. I wasn't looking to them to give me courage. And when we can get our eyes off others and onto God, then we're halfway there. Turn to your neighbour and say, you're halfway there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, accept responsibility. DIY encouragement. What do you think David was doing? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Forget not all his benefits. You know, when I'm believing God for something, what do? I remind myself of the last time God came through for me. Are you hearing me? I encourage myself that he's faithful, that he is not one that can lie. DIY encouragement. Hallelujah. Yes, DIY stands for do it. Let's say it together. Do it yourself. Hallelujah. And then the other two. It's all about what goes on in our minds and out of our mouths. You see, this is what this passage says. Meditate on the word. So when I want to think, oh gosh, you know, it's not fair. You know, I've been up coughing. You know, I've coughed every night this week. It's not fair. I'm just fed up of this. It's not fair. No, I meditate on the right stuff instead. Are you hearing me? I'm being real with you. You can hear my voice. Yeah, so I've spent a week coughing. Now, let me tell you the truth, right? In many areas of my life, I know I've reached a level of strength, and I'm preaching from that to you. Let me tell you one area where right now, I said to Dr. Douglas this morning, I said, I feel like I'm in kindergarten in the area of my health right now. What do I mean by that? I've had little flus and coughs and colds. I worked out, my love, that I think I've had more little coughs and colds this year than you've had in the 20 years of our marriage. Now, what am I doing by explaining this to you? I'm accepting responsibility. This isn't something for me to feel sorry for myself about. I need answers. So I've been seeking God. I've been saying, is there a chink in my armor, Lord? Is there something wrong with my faith? Am I weak in faith in this area? I spoke to Dr. Douglas because I was saying, do you think there might be any lifestyle things I need to change? He told me about a couple of vitamins I should take. You see, when we accept responsibility, when we then do, so in the middle of the night when I'm like, ugh, instead I go, no. Father, I thank you that you're my healer. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that by your stripes I'm healed. Father, I thank you that I'm fighting this battle because I'm going to conquer and I'm going to dwell in health. So in the middle of the night, when I'm awake, I'm not feeling sorry for myself. I'm fighting. Are you hearing me? You see, it's what goes on between your ears. Don't allow that voice to be saying all the negative stuff. It's up to me and you. It's up to us what we think. It's up to us what dominates. And so we've got to learn to apply the word. And when we catch ourselves backsliding into weakness, into self-pity, into doubt, whatever it might be. You see, if faith is the language and the currency, rather, of heaven, then doubt, whose currency is that? So you see, if we tolerate doubt, we're basically now starting to deal in the enemy's currency. So you see, we've got to be just tough on ourselves. The definition of strength is great. You know, it's all sorts of words. Like, in there was man up. I like that, even though I'm a woman, because I know what it means. Be manly. There was an element in there, that the definition of that word, of be tough. You see, we've got to be tough and soft, tough and tender at the same time. Tender towards others. Tender in an otherly way. and tough when it comes to self. Are you hearing me? Tough on yourself. And obviously there's times, you know, but right now, when we're talking about strength, it's learning when to just be tough, to toughen up. What does the Bible say in Timothy? Endure hardship like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When the going gets tough, that's what we got to be. We've got to be those that when it gets tough, that's fine. We roll up our sleeves. We put on our boxing gloves. As someone said to me this morning, and we're ready to fight. Hallelujah. You see, you've got to remember that the circumstances of our lives are there for us to grow. Whatever it is that you're contending with right now, it will stay in your life, I believe, until you've conquered in that area. You know, I remember for years in my life, there was always a really intimidating, really, really intimidating. I mean, like, not just a bit intimidating, but you try and imagine, like, really, 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 really intimidating woman close to me, either at work, at church, somewhere. Always. Constantly. There would be someone, you know, at work, it was someone who was, like, one of the most, oh, I mean, everyone was scared of this woman. She was vindictive, malicious, everything. And she was having an affair with the chief executive, which doesn't help. Guess who her line manager was? Yes, me. Yours truly. And I was just surrounded during a period in my life by people I was intimidated by. Guess what? It didn't go until I was no longer intimidated. And then one day I realized there are no people around me anymore who are really intimidating. You see, sometimes the giants will remain until you've conquered them. And why? Because God loves you. Because he's got a plan for your life. Because he wants you to rise up and conquer and then dwell. Hallelujah. Giants are a good thing. David would have been just a shepherd boy without Goliath. It was Goliath that caused David to be raised to prominence, to be noticed. Your very battles are a sign of God's call on your life. They're a sign of God's love for you. And he says, my son, my daughter, you can conquer. You can conquer. You see, nothing is in our lives except what is common to man. No temptation, no test is in our lives except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He provides a way out so that we can stand up under it. Hallelujah. The word strong, Hebrew word hazak, it means fasten upon, be resolute, tough, constant, established, play the man, stout. And I believe that is what God is calling us to in this season. Would you rise to your feet?